Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined here in just a few minutes by Predators captain Roman Josi. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Nashville Predator season getting underway tomorrow. They'll be at home at Bridgestone Arena taking on the Seattle Kraken, and going to be a fun environment. Home on tomorrow, home on Saturday as well. So Preds action right around the corner. They've got practice today and then the game against the Kraken coming up tomorrow. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and go inside the locker room with Predators captain Roman Josi, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local, support social. Roman, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good, good. How are you?
We are good. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Roman, obviously exciting times for you and the team. The season beginning tomorrow at home against the Kraken. Just your excitement level with this group, a younger group than maybe you've had the last few years. How excited are you to get things rolling with this team?
Really excited. I mean, obviously it's a bit of a new team. We had a really good training camp, good 3 weeks. Everybody's excited to get started for sure.
So, Roman, John Hines had an interesting comment this week about, you know, sort of the work ethic required and I guess kind of what you guys found during the stretch last season to make the run to get into the playoffs. And he, to paraphrase him, he basically said, like, some of those things are kind of becoming second nature now. You know, it's sort of like you understand the work sacrifice required, you know, to play the type of game you guys want to play. I'm just wondering your thought on that. Like, do you see that from this team? Is there a sort of a different standard of, like, you know, the physicality or however you want to put it, the work ethic required to win on a nightly basis? And do you feel like the style of play to start the season will look like it looked in the second half of last season?
Yeah, I think so. I think we found our identity towards the end of the season. I think before that we were almost a little bit lost with our identity, and I think the work ethic is a huge part. I mean, I think we started working harder, we started working smarter as a team, and I think you saw it towards the end of the season. I think you saw it in training camp too. Our practices were really good. We had good preseason games, and I think you're right. Like you said, I think it's a part of our game that just has to be there every night, and I think the rest will take care of itself, but that's definitely the most important part.
Roman, obviously Alex Carrier, a guy that stepped into a big role for your team last year, including playing alongside you in the playoffs. What did you think of how he was able to step into that role? And I guess as you've watched him now in training camp and played with him, your expectations for Alex Carrier this year?
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, he's such a great player. I think he, even in the past couple of years, every time we had training camp, he was playing preseason games with us. He was always such a good player, and I think it was just a matter of time till he takes that next step and becomes a regular in the NHL. And you saw him last year. He was great. He stepped in when we had a lot of injuries and took on a big role, and it carried into this year. In training camp, he's been really good, so I think he's going to have a great year.
Roman, how about some of the other young guys, the young forwards? Obviously, the move is made for Cody Glass. Philip Tomasino makes the team. I mean, I think with three of the four lines, you know, we have a general idea of what to expect. We've seen these guys play, but that particular line with Glass and Tomasino together is going to be of high interest, of course, because people haven't seen it. What did you see, I guess, from those two guys in particular, but also Elle Tolvanen coming off sort of his breakout season? What's your confidence level that the young guys can help this team, you know, get where it wants to go?
I mean, really high. I think just watching them in camp, they played really well. Obviously, all those three guys are really talented. I think Tolvi showed it last year how good he can be. He's a natural goal scorer, and Toma and Glasser are really skilled guys with great speed. They play great in camp. I mean, they're they're really talented, and I'm really excited to see them play in the regular season.
Predators captain Roman Josi on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Roman, first off, congratulations on being named to the Switzerland 2022 Winter Olympic team. That's going to be awesome to watch. I guess, how excited are you for that, and how excited are you that NHL players will actually be allowed to compete this year and to play once again in the Olympic Games?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think all the players in the NHL wanted to be part of it, and I got the chance to play in Sochi, and obviously it's a huge honor to represent your country. It's an even bigger honor to represent them at the Olympics, and I think growing up you always watch the Olympics. It's such a big event, so it's really exciting that everybody's going back, and it's going to be an amazing tournament.
So Roman, as a captain, do you in the off season, obviously the expansion draft can bring a lot of stress to teams. You got two guys, who obviously are very important to this team, who are left exposed, and now they're back after wanting to produce more. This team needs more production from them. Do you address that at all with them? Do you talk with Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene about that? I know you guys all know it's a business. And that people are going to be left exposed. But have you addressed that all with them? And beyond that, what have you seen from those guys in the lead up to this season?
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, they came back. You can tell they're really hungry. They came to camp ready to go, and they've been a great line for us the whole preseason. So I think, I mean, the expansion draft is, I think it's definitely a topic within the team. Obviously, because it's just so new, obviously, but well, since the Vegas one, but it's I think everyone knows it's a business, and it's something that's definitely talked about around the team, but just like anything else. But like I said, those guys came ready to play in camp. They've been a great line for us, so I think they're both gonna have a really good year.
Roman, as you look at, obviously you've got so much confidence in UC Saros and what he was able to do a year ago in goal. How weird has this training camp, these practices leading up to the season been without having Pekka around?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it's definitely a little bit weird not having him around the rink. I mean, since I got here, he's always been here, and he's been obviously such a huge part of this team, of this organization, and yeah, it's first year not having him here. We definitely miss him, but we all know he's in a really good place. He's very happy, so that's all that matters. But we definitely miss him here.
Well, beyond that, obviously, Victor Arvidsson's gone. Ryan Ellis, the guy you played so closely with for so long, also gone. How different is the makeup of this team this year compared to last year and the last few years?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, there's guys, like you said, guys who played here for a long time, guys I've played here with together for such a long time, and I think there were definitely some big changes. We've had the same core for a lot of years here, and I mean, I think just the way the past couple of years went, it didn't really go the way we wanted it to, and I think we all understand that sometimes there needs to be some changes, and changes are made. But those guys were a big part of our team, and obviously had a really really tight connection with them as well. So it always hurts to see guys go, but we also understand that's part of the career in hockey.
Predators captain Roman Josi on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Roman, there's a little bit of breaking news in the NHL right now. There are reports that your buddy and teammate Mattias Ekholm has re-signed with a four-year deal extension with the Predators. So number one, your reaction to that news. And number two, just how important has Ekholm been to you and to your group over the last few years? And how important is it to get him locked down for the next 4 years?
Yeah, that's great news. He texted me this morning. I was really happy to see that. Obviously, I mean, Ekki's been such a huge part of our team. I think you saw it, especially last year when Ellie was hurt, I was hurt. He kind of took over that team, and he played unbelievable. And I mean, I think to this day he's still underrated. He's such an amazing defenseman, and obviously I'm really really good friends with him. I've been playing with him for such a long time. We went to development camps together, so it's pretty awesome that we're both here for such a long time, and it's great news for me, for our team, and I think for the whole organization. Like I said, he's such an amazing teammate and amazing player. So it's definitely a morning to celebrate.
So you knew this before you came on here, right?
I did, yeah.
You weren't going to tell us, though, huh? You weren't going to tell us?
I know. I wasn't sure if you guys knew. I would have told you. Yeah, right.
So, Roman, the outside expectations obviously are not high for this team. They have – you in your time here, you've probably seen the entire spectrum, right? You've seen low expectations going into a season. You've seen people talking Stanley Cup left and right going into a season. Around the league, the expectations are not high. Do you take any note of this? Do you guys talk about this? Is this any sort of extra edge for you guys that, you know, like no one thinks, or I mean, I shouldn't say no one, but a lot of people are not picking you to make the playoffs. How do you view that aspect of this?
Yeah, you know what? Like, you definitely see those things. I mean, like you said, this in the time that I've been here, the expectation's been so different from winning the Stanley Cup to not making the playoffs. And I think as a player, you see those things, and I think those things can motivate you for sure. I mean, I just remember when we beat Chicago in the first round, when we went all the way to the finals, I think there was like 20 people picking Chicago to go to the second round. And I think you see those things, and it definitely gives you some motivation. And I think, like I said, I think we have a really good team. There's a lot of confidence in our room. So, it definitely motivates us a little bit, but you also try not to put too much stock in it.
Well, Roman, we really appreciate you making time to join us today. Looking forward to talking with you throughout the season, and can't wait to get things rolling tomorrow. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Predators Roman. Captain Roman Josi, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Gary Ashton Remax Advantage and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local, support social. We'll come back. We'll react to the breaking news on the Nashville Predators front. Matthias Ekholm has re-signed a contract extension with the Predators, 4 years, reportedly at $6.25 million per year. So we'll react to that coming up next. Taking your thoughts at our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery this Monday. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 5 to 7 p.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Some breaking news on the Nashville Predators front. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet reporting that Matthias Ekholm has been signed to a 4-year contract extension with the Predators worth $6.25 million annually. So the Nashville Predators get it done with Matthias Ekholm. By the way, Elliot Friedman will rejoin Darren Donick and Chase every week throughout the NHL season beginning tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So looking forward to Elliot Friedman on with us on this station each week. That's a big deal, Joe Rexroad. We've talked about the idea of getting Ekholm and Forsberg an extension done. We've wondered what's been taking so long with Ekholm in particular in terms of, kind of seemed like from the jump, the conversation coming out of both ends is they wanted to be here, they wanted to get a deal done. And here we are, one day before the season starts, and Ekholm has now been extended, and he's going to be here for the next 5 years, at least, including this year.
It's good. It's good for them to get it knocked out. Now you just have one, even though we've talked probably more about the other one, because this seemed like something that was definitely going to happen. But I guess you don't know, and if this drags into the season, then it becomes more of a question. And the two of them together maybe become kind of a bigger question, right? So you knock this out, it makes sense. I think it's probably about right, yeah, on the money, on the number for Ekholm. Seems fair. Seems like a win-win kind of contract. I don't feel like either side made out like bandits on this. It seems fair and about right. So It's a big deal for them. I mean, Ekholm is a hugely important player. So now, number nine.
Now on to number nine. And, you know, Matias Ekholm getting paid $6.25 million. I think that's exactly what Ryan Ellis was making with his contract, if memory serves me correctly. There's a quick Google search that I can do to confirm that, but I am pretty sure that that's exactly what Ellis was making. So, look, I mean, if you're Ekholm's agent, I mean, you can certainly make the argument, especially based on what we saw last year and how important Ekholm was to this group, that he is every bit as important as Ryan Ellis was to this team. So now he is being paid like it, a four-year deal. And, look, you know, I've already seen some reaction of, maybe on the backside of that contract, that could be rough. I mean, he is 31 years old right now. You get 5 years down the road because, remember, this contract doesn't kick in until after this season. So it'll be 5 years from now. He'll be 36. Could that be a little expensive for a 36-year-old? Maybe. But I still think Matias Ekholm right now, based on the way he's played, and not only just the way he's played, how durable he's been, I think he's got a lot of good hockey left in him.
Dom Lucizen. I nail that name every time. From The Athletic says, quote, there's a tweet, Matias Ekholm's very good now, but at 31 his comp list is full of red flags. This deal could age quite poorly, and I'm not exactly sure why Nashville signed it given the team's current trajectory. And this is where probably Dom and the Preds disagree on trajectory. I'd say the hockey world at large would agree more with him. But I think he has a fair point in terms of, so here's another, you know, pretty big deal you're signing, veteran. If you're in some kind of a rebuild, then you wouldn't do this.
Right, but look, I mean, the Predators, I think it's pretty clear.
Don't look at
them. They don't feel like they're in a rebuild. I mean, you know, David Poile got on Darren Donica Chase yesterday and basically said if he could take back the competitive rebuild term that he would do it. I mean, he basically is what he said. And he said he would call it a transition more than anything else. But, you know, we kind of joked about at the time that maybe David Poile, as soon as those words came out of his mouth, might have regretted it, and it sounds like that's the case. I mean, John Hines has backed away from that during his comments. The players, obviously, have backed away from any sort of rebuild
players
talk.
Players hate that word.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's pretty clear the Predators don't feel like they're in a rebuild. Now, we'll see what happens starting tomorrow on the ice as to whether or not they're justified in that feeling.
Well, and also with number nine.
Yeah.
Because that's where – I guess that's where I think you could certainly go back on this and anything they're doing with veterans now if you really want to – I mean, they're not anywhere close to blowing everything up. But if they can't get something done with Forsberg and now you're in that position where you have to make a decision at the trading deadline, then the R word looms much larger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, that'll be probably tied – I don't know – I can't get in his head on that, but I mean, I think there's a real chance it is tied to what this team does on the ice.
Well, I think it is too. And, you know, Poile said yesterday, you know, the conversations with Forsberg going a little slower than Ekholm and, you know, established that there was an order to things. Well, now that this one's done, I wonder how quickly, if you're Poile, do you turn your attention to Forsberg? Like, do you give it a couple weeks before you start having conversations? Like, to me, I'm having conversations as soon as possible. Now, maybe Forsberg is like, you know what? I don't really want to talk about this right now. And we see players do that sometimes where the season starts, at the beginning of it, they're not talking. Now, I hear that. I also think to myself, well, it's not really your job to talk anyway.
Exactly.
It's the player. It's the agent's job.
Agents can talk at any time. Right. That's what they do.
All you really got to do is pick up the phone call from your agent.
Yeah. Did the agent text you something?
Like, huh, how about
you
say, that?
You know, like, yes, no, maybe. You check a box. You text it back.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a look on the Pred side of things. Probably be nice to see Forsberg play a little bit, see how his health is, see how his game is, and all that stuff. Of course, you know. Then you also have the what if he comes right out like gangbusters, and now you just
which
see
he
that
has
price
done.
Tag going up and up.
Yeah, he has done that before, where he comes out and he starts off very strong. Now, can he sustain that? That's going to be the next question as they move forward here. But a big deal for the Predators to get Matias Ekholm locked up. We'll have Adam Bingen coming up here in just a few minutes to get his reaction to the Ekholm contract. Look, I think, and, you know, Roman brought this up in the last segment. I think Ekholm, a guy where we always knew how good he was here and how important he is. I think that got magnified last year when Ellis went down with injury, when Josi was out with injury, and the way Ekholm played through that stretch. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Matias Ekholm on any other team probably a number one D-man. You've got Roman Josi in front of you here, so we get that. But Ekholm's certainly a number one quality defenseman, especially when it comes to being a defensive defenseman. I mean, he's a shutdown defender. That's what he is. He's added to his offensive game. He's never going to be, you know, an elite offensive defenseman or anything like that. But defensively, there was a time where he was almost as good as it gets that way. And, you know, I don't know that he's still there every night, but Ekholm, a really good player, really important to get him locked down.
Yeah, an important voice. I mean, I've always looked at him as, you know, one of the stronger voices. Probably that's grown over the past few years, too. And certainly you've got some people who have moved on now, so it becomes even more important. Ryan Ellis moves on. There's a little bit of a voice void there.
Yep.
You know, like Ryan Johansson, when guys are struggling with their own game sometimes, that also hurts. I mean, I think they're in good shape at captain, although they have a losing streak this year. I promise you that'll come up.
Oh, we'll hear it.
Roman Josi, too nice. Too handsome to be a good captain.
Must be.
The hair is too perfect.
Too great.
Yeah, the wavy hair. But seriously, I mean, they're a good shape at captain. You got to have support for that, and I think Ekholm's one of the most important voices in the room.
I think he is, and, you know, it's interesting to watch him kind of grow in that area. I remember, you know, this is true with any player, but when you first get in, it's just you're in such like deer in headlights look to be here. And, you know, the first couple of games, Matthias Ekholm looked rough when he first got here, to the point where like Barry Trotz like called him out after a game. And basically I think the quote was, if you're scared, get a dog, from Barry Trotz.
Man,
and
good quote.
To watch him go from that to what he is now, pretty incredible. Ekholm's a good player. And now he'll be here for the next 5 years with the Nashville Predators. If you're scared, get a dog.
That's a heck of a quote. Do you think that whatever, you know, that this wasn't done a month ago, like the term may have been?
Maybe.
Like if the Preds would wait one less year, and on the Ekholm side, it's like, well, if I'm going to stay here, that's how it works. And, of course, it's so interesting. And it's just when you talk NFL and NHL all the time, it's so interesting to toggle back and forth between the different leagues. And how it is, you know, play, of course, the NFL, cut away, dead money's now come. You know, the NHL, you got to buy him out.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, it could be as simple as Ekholm wanted 5 years and the Preds wanted three, and now you've met at four. But, you know, it could be maybe Ekholm wanted four, Preds wanted three, and they finally just said, you know what, yeah, we'll give you four. Like, right. I don't know what happened, but I could see term being, like, the money to me makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, you look at the Jake Muzzin contract, what Ellis was getting paid, like the money is pretty much on par of where I thought it would be. The term, my guess would be, when you're 31, it's, as you said, I mean, there is a chance, like, you get to the end of this contract and maybe it's not a very good deal for the Predators. I mean, that chance is still there, but sometimes when you want to keep your good players, this is what you got to do.
Right. And he's a good player.
I don't think there's any question about that. When we
there's
come back,
some analysis for me.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on Matthias Ekholm signing a new deal and the Predators opening up their season tomorrow. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, some breaking news on that front. Matthias Ekholm signing a 4-year contract extension with the Predators worth roughly $6.25 million per year. And to help us talk about that and more, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Adam, I know we just had your favorite song for you. What's going on?
Well, when you look at the time, I've got to go.
Are you vibing, Vingan? Vibing, Vingan. That guy actually has a nice ring to it.
No,
it
does. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
All year. All year.
Could really get after it. Well, Adam, we appreciate you taking time to join us today. I guess let's start with your reaction to the contract extension for Matthias Ekholm. 4 years, $6.25 million per year. Is that about where you thought it would land? The term, the dollar amount? What is your reaction to this contract for Matthias Ekholm?
I mean, it's pretty much where I expected it to be. There were two contracts recently signed by defensemen that I always thought would be comparable for Matthias Ekholm. Jake Muzzin in Toronto and Jeff Petrie in Montreal. and Ekholm got the Petrie contract, 4 years, $25 million. Muzzin's was, I believe, 4 years, $22.5 million. I always thought that maybe you break, you know, you split it down the middle. Ekholm signs 4 years, $24 million. So I wasn't too far off. You know, it does make sense for a player of Ekholm's age. He's 31 years old. You know, one thing that I find interesting is that the Predators' last three major signings, Mikael Granlund, UC Saros, and Matthias Ekholm, were all four-year contracts. With the Saros and Granlund contracts, the Predators never offered either player more than 4 years. I'm not sure if that was the case with Ekholm, but it appears the Predators have perhaps learned their lesson about signing players to 6-, 7-, 8-year contracts, considering that most of those deals have not aged well recently. So I think it's appropriate value for Ekholm. My colleague at The Athletic, Dom Lecision, our analytics guru, would disagree with me, but I think when you look at comparables of, you know, 4 years in the $24 to $25 million range, made a lot of sense for Ekholm. So no surprise by the term or dollar amount.
Yeah, why does Dom hate the Preds?
That's the question he answers about all 31 other teams.
Why do you hate
Dom? Does Dom hate your team?
But what do you think about his criticism? I mean, I think there's some fair concern, you know, just because it's just hard to know where this year is going to go and then where things go from there, right?
Well, I think part of it, Dom's model, his game score value added model, you know, I'm not sure about the intricacies. I always try to explain it on a general scope. It's very similar to a wins above replacement in baseball. You know, Matthias Ekholm is not a point producer like Roman Josi. So perhaps Dom's model takes, you know, scoring more into account than the shutdown ability that Matthias Ekholm has. But you know, when I think about Matthias Ekholm, he's incredibly durable. He very rarely misses games. You know, he provides, you know, a different element than Roman Josi. You know, we know that Roman is elite in transition and in terms of generating offensive zone time and scoring chances. Matthias can do some of those things too, but he's better known for his shutdown ability, which I think is important. So you know, I think the two of them complement each other really well. Just based on what I've seen from Matthias over the past several years, you know, I think this is a, you know, a contract that is very much deserved. You know, I think it's good that the term is shorter. You know, he'll be in his late, you know, mid to late 30s when it expires. Like I said before, I really don't have a problem with this deal. It's basically what I thought it was going to be, give or take $1 million. And I think the Predators now have to turn their attention to the other elephant in the dressing room, and that's Philip Forsberg.
Well, and Adam, to that point, do you think that this helps in any way with Philip Forsberg, or is this going to be kind of what feels like maybe a longer negotiation? You were there for Forsberg's comments a couple of weeks ago talking about, you know, how he'd like to play out the contract and he's not in any rush to sign and all these different things. Do you think that this Ekholm contract has any impact on Forsberg whatsoever?
Yeah, that's a good question, because like I said, you know, the last major signings for the Predators have all been 4 years. And when you think of someone like Forsberg, you know, maybe he'd like a 4-year contract, because that will take him to his early 30s, where if he has a good 4 seasons, let's just say, under his new contract, if he re-signs with the Predators, he can perhaps cash in one more time. We've seen that with some players, like Austin Matthews, for example, though Austin Matthews in a different stratosphere than Philip Forsberg, also younger than Philip Forsberg. But, you know, I think the Forsberg one's going to take a little bit longer. I mean, to me, you know, I just have this feeling that Forsberg is going to want to see if the grass is greener and maybe test the market before agreeing to a contract. And I think the Predators would be wise, you know, not to rush into anything with Forsberg. They need to see if he can be the player that deserves a bigger payday, because as we all know, Philip Forsberg, immensely talented. We feel like there's always been something missing from his game. He should be more than a 30 goal, 60 point guy He's been injury prone. He's missed at least 15 games in three of the past four seasons. You know, I would be hesitant to commit long term to Phillip. So I think both sides really do need to take a step back and really think about if this is the road they want to go down.
So is this team going to be good?
I'm not expecting them to be. You know, I think they'll be in the race in the Western Conference. I'm picking them to miss the playoffs. I just think there are too many question marks hovering over this lineup for me to be confident in picking the Predators to qualify for the postseason. You know, I'm also curious to see how the rest of the Central Division shakes out. You know, a lot of people are intrigued by what the Chicago Blackhawks did this offseason, for example. Are they better than the Predators? I think there are fewer questions about their lineup. They still have more skill than the Predators have in their lineup. Their goaltending is steadier, I think, with Marc-Andre Fleury, who's been a proven starter in this league for a long time, versus UC Saros, who's never started more than 35 games in an NHL season. You know, so I don't think they were as bad as they were in the first half of last season. I do not think they are as good as they were in the second half of last season. I think they're somewhere in the middle, and to me that means being on the outside looking into the playoffs.
Adam Vigan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, with that in mind, I mean, your opinion there is not going to be, you know, in the minority. There are a lot of people picking the Predators to not make the playoffs this year. What all, in your opinion, has to go right in order for them to make it? Are they a fringe playoff team? Do you think they're far off? Like, what all has to go right for this group in order to get back to the playoffs?
I think they are a fringe playoff team. I don't expect them to be, you know, near the Arizonas and the San Jose's and the Anaheim's of the Western Conference, which, you know, are expected to be at the bottom. But I expect them to be in that, you know, next group up of teams that are there in the periphery of the playoff race for most of the season, but then maybe fall off near the end. You know, there are a lot of things that have to go right for this team to make the playoffs. And I go back to UC Saros. Look, he earned the Vezina and Hart Trophy votes that he received at the end of last season. Where would this team be without UC Saros posting a .941 save percentage over his final 23 starts of the season? But is he that goalie over the course of a full season when he's starting 50 to 55 games? We don't know. The one thing that's interesting about UC Saros is he's never really been an unquestioned number one goaltender in his professional career. Even with the Milwaukee Admirals, he was splitting time, I believe, with Marek Mazanich.
Yep.
So he's never really had the true number one goalie workload of 50, 55, 60 games. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that UC can handle it, but, you know, we don't know. And that's the biggest question. I mean, we've seen how goaltending can change a team's fortunes. And, you know, if UC Saros comes back down to earth, he's still a good goaltender, but I'm not sure he's good enough to drag the Predators into the postseason like he did last year if he's not putting up elite numbers like he did in March and April and May.
So, Adam, to me, the biggest, I guess, cause for pessimism seems to be, you know, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, and their lack of production, their lack of, I guess, playing up to their contracts the last couple of years. First of all, do you agree with me on that? And do you agree also? I feel like they are the ones who can really turn this around and change the narrative and change the outlook for this team if they actually do respond. It seems like they've had a good preseason. What do you think about that and them?
How long have we been having these conversations?
We've been,
you know, I was listening, you know, to Jared with Hal Gill yesterday. He said the same thing. It's like we've been talking about, can Ryan Johansson live up to expectations? Can Matt Duchene be worth the contract, for years? And quite frankly, I'm sick of talking about it. We've gotten to the point now where, you know, to put it bluntly, it's past put up or shut up time for those two. And I think they both care, but neither of them is going to win over anybody with his words. So, you know, there are a lot of questions about whether those two players are the type of guys that can lead a team to significant success. You know, they don't need any more wake-up calls. I mean, their contracts are considered two of the worst in the league. Both of them were exposed in the Seattle Kraken expansion draft. because of those terrible contracts, on top of their lack of production. Like, how many more wake-up calls do these guys need? And I think both of them, especially Johansson, because he's been here longer, has lost the benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, you know, maybe they'll turn it around. Like, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it's going to happen. And I think that is why so many people in the league are down on the Predators and don't expect them to be a playoff team this year.
Adam Bingham from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Be good.
Absolutely. See you at practice.
Adam presented by Bank of England Mortgage. And it's going to be interesting. Got an announcement coming from the Predators, which I think we already know what that is. Roman Josi confirmed it a little bit earlier on the show here with us. So Matthias Ekholm signing an extension and the season underway tomorrow against the Seattle Kraken. We'll come back. I'll give you my Central Division preview, my Stanley Cup preview in the NHL coming up next. We've also got some tickets to give away as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th? Well, head on over to YouTube, subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Doobie Brothers. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October the 18th. So, Rexford, are you a Doobie Brothers fan?
Hell yes. Taking it to the streets, baby. What a fool believes.
I figured you would be a Doobie Brothers fan. I like the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah. A little Yacht Rock.
That's right.
Blackwater. Come on.
Speaking of tickets, we got some tickets to give away right now. Caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You win a family four-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Columbus at Nissan Stadium coming up on Wednesday, October the 20th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, it is time for my annual NHL predictions. And ever since I predicted the Stanley Cup final and the result 2 years ago, I feel like you could pretty much take this as gospel, even though last year it didn't happen.
No, but it's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good.
You've been pretty good.
So the Central Division, I've got, here's a shocker for you, the Colorado Avalanche winning the division, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close. At number 2, give me the Dallas Stars in the Central Division. Everybody's sleeping on the Stars. And I think they forget that they were basically hurt the entire year last year.
Yes.
And Tyler Seguin's back. Alex Radulov's back. You just got Ryan Suter. Your defense was already good before that, and you got good goaltending. I think Dallas is going to be pretty good if they could stay healthy. So give me Dallas at number 2. I got the Minnesota Wild at 3.
Wow.
The Chicago Blackhawks at number 4. Could be interesting to see what happens with them. Jonathan Toews is back. Marc-Andre Fleury is in. Seth Jones is in for Chicago. I've got them at 4. Winnipeg at 5. St. Louis at 6, Nashville at 7 in the Central Division, and Arizona at 8.
Wah, wah.
I said this yesterday, really outside of the top 3, the finish of 4 through 7 won't really surprise me all that much. Like, I don't think there's much separation between those teams. I don't think St. Louis is very good. I know that some people have St. Louis like 3rd in the division. I just don't think they're very good. I will be surprised. Maybe the most shocking result other than Colorado not winning this division would be Arizona not finishing in last. They're awful. Like, they might be the worst team in the league.
That makes sense. I don't know that everyone would agree with the Minnesota pick. I mean, they're not good.
They're good.
But I could kind of see them maybe dragging into, like, 1-2.
Yep.
Then some clump, yep, possibly.
Could be.
So you got the Preds not making the playoffs.
I have the Preds not making the playoffs.
You and Vingan.
Look, I've been wrong
Debbie
before.
Downers.
I've been wrong before. Look.
No, it's the no.
Do I think it's impossible for them to make the playoffs? No. I think if a lot of things go right, they'll make the playoffs. But I'm kind of in the Adam Vingan camp of, you know, we talk a lot about Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, and I get it, and they had a good preseason. And look, if that line works, I think they could be a good team. But I'll believe that they're going to play better when I see it in the regular season. I mean, I think
totally fair.
I think that's justified at this point to not really buy into preseason hype yet.
It is. And I do think, I mean, I think the almost across the board dismissal that they will have some big bounce back is why they're largely picked where they are. But again, like, how could you really argue? I think it's absolutely possible. But would I bet on that? Would I expect that? It's hard. How could you at this point?
Yeah.
Very much prove it. Show it.
Cup final, I've got Tampa Bay with the three-peat. They take down the Avalanche in the Cup Final. So give me Tampa Bay winning 3 in a row. I really hate doing that. Like, I never pick people to win back-to-back, hardly ever. because it's just so hard to do, much less three times in a row. But they just – they kind of feel like they're one of those special-type dynasty teams.
Didn't look very good last night.
They got absolutely destroyed last night by Pittsburgh without Crosby or Malkin. So that was a nice shove it to Robbie Stanley on that pick because I came out with these yesterday on Twitter. But I think Tampa Bay at the end of the day, they get it done three times in a row. I mean, when you have arguably the best goalie in the world, and I don't even know if it's arguable anymore, like Vasilevsky's the best goalie in the world. You've got arguably the best defenseman in the world in Victor Hedman, and you've got a couple of probably top 10 forwards in the world with Kucherov and Point, not to mention Stamkos. Pretty good formula.
And this would be the first three-peat. What, we're going back to the Isles?
The Islanders, yeah.
We're going back to, yeah, like Glenn Sather and, you know, Al Arbor coaching the Isles.
Bobby Nystrom.
Early 80s. Wow, man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mike Bossy all day. Okay. Yeah, I could say, see that. So you think that the Avs are going to say, F it, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Much to the delight of Adrian Dater. Yes,
yeah.
They will.
Yeah. To justify that. Well, I look, I agree. Like, they seem like a team that.
They got to break through at some point.
Yeah, they're too good not to. That would be a fun final, though. I guess it starts to get predictable, but you want to see the best teams play. That would be.
Well, we've not seen it yet. I mean, yeah. Colorado the last couple of years has had a chance, and they've screwed it up in the playoffs.
Yeah, like all due respect to Montreal, and great story, but could have been much better. Yeah, could have been much more fun to watch.
Well, Vegas will be right there, too. They can stay healthy. They're a pretty good team.
Speaking of fun to watch, what did you think of? I thought the ESPN intro and everything was awesome. I saw a lot of complaining about the actual broadcasts.
I mean, people complain about everything. Look, they're trying out some new stuff. And, like, they've got this camera angle, which it basically is like Skycam in football, and it's following the action around. I can't tell you that I necessarily love that in hockey. Yeah. Now, you know, I don't also have a problem with them trying new stuff out early in the season. Then if it works, you stick with it. If it doesn't, you scrap it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, I didn't have like some – like everybody was like hammering Buchagross last night on the call between Vegas and Seattle. And I was like, I think he's fine. Like, he's not the best play-by-play guy I've ever heard, but he's fine.
Sean McDonough is one of the best play-by-play,
yeah,
to me, announcers in sports.
Yeah, so he's very good.
Big fan of
Syracuse of guy.
That's right.
Go Orange.
Oh,
boy.
So many. Mike Tirico is too, by the way.
That's right.
Very nice guy.
By the way, hockey is back, speaking of, and make sure you're in the building tomorrow for the Predators and the Kraken. Remember, beginning a couple of weeks ago, Bridgestone Arena requiring all guests to show proof of their full COVID vaccination or a negative test within 72 hours of an event. More information can be found at bridgestonearena.com/clear. And got the Stadium Series coming up on February 26, 2022 at Nissan Stadium. So now, the best time to become a season ticket citizen. So for more information on a season ticket citizen membership or on single game tickets, head to NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Joe Rexer, we will be live at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow morning to celebrate the beginning of hockey season here in Nashville. Looking forward to that. The Predators and the Kraken. So you can check off team number 32. If you've been around for a while, you've seen every team at Bridgestone Arena. You can add one more to the list tomorrow night with the Kraken coming in there.
Absolutely. We're going to check the ice early, make sure everything's already ship-shaped for the game tomorrow.
Yeah, might get out there and paint a few things. We'll see what happens.
That'd be fun.
It would be. I don't know that we'll see Cali Yarncroke, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Show up. Turn up, boy.
Turn off. Maybe Marshawn Lynch as well. That does it for us here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.